Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Party tonight. Huge party. I'm still checking my mail here. Don't see the invitation. Oh well. Tell me the suit organized this.
No.
I understand he went out today and bought a lampshade.
But in the last couple of weeks, I've been starting to hear more Light Barn commercials. So that's right up his lane. I don't think that's his account, though.
I'm Kevin Hurd for the Light Barn. Every time I go to a party.
The correct pronunciation is Quoizel. Makes a great gift.
Yeah. Oh, goodness great. We have to have some fun here. If we don't have fun, we'll go crazy. All right. So, yeah. Well, sounds like it'll be a fun party for all of you tonight.
We'll be thinking of you. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
No, you won't.
Absolutely, we will.
What are you talking about?
We will.
If you thought of me, I would have been invited.
They must have knew you had the coaches show going on tonight, and they saved the postage on something.
I figured it out. If we do it on Thursday, he can't go, right?
Wakeman told me to tell you, Steve has to show up because he can be my designated driver. And it's like, wait, you're the one that lives the closest to where the party is being held tonight.
Where is the party tonight?
It is in Lewisburg, and we're going to be at the Cellars at Brook Park Farm tonight.
Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, that's a beautiful place.
Yes, it is. Run by the great folks at Arts Farm Market, so food will be top shelf, and looking forward to it. I didn't give anyone your address.
No, we did not, but we gave approximate directions.
Just wrote it down. Just Lewisburg, that's all.
Lewisburg and near this street. No. So, all right. Well, have a good time. I'll be out there throwing innings. No. This is making no one in the station feel guilty. You know that. They're like, so what? He's not going to be there. Who cares? All right. Well, so. Okay. The show today, we're going to talk with Jason Rollison about hot stove baseball. So far, the Phillies have done nothing. The Pirates have done just as much. That sounded refreshing. And we'll also talk with Audrey Snyder, DK Sports, on Penn State football. Craig Meyer on Pitt basketball. Penn State will play Pitt next. Last night, not a good performance by the Nittany Lions. They've been making progress, getting better to the point where you're like, okay, I see what they're doing. I know what they're doing. I can see they're playing better defense. Offense is, you know, and the pace is good and so forth. Then last night, they're leading at halftime. But you felt that, they lead at halftime, but And you had an uneasy feeling watching it if you had a rooting interest in Penn State. I'll tell you the part that bothered me more than any part about last night's game. Yeah, they lost the game. I mean, that's one thing. But the part that bothered me is they got closed out last night. That's what bothered me. In other words, you're down by, I don't know, what, 6 points at the under 12? So you're the home team. You've got talent. You're the one that, quote, is expected to win, right? And instead of making a run at them, they got closed out. I mean, that's the part, I think, that bothered me more than anything else. I mean, there's several areas that bother you. Now, with a young team, you're going to have these nights. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts. When you have a young team, you are going to have some nights where you beat somebody you don't expect, and everybody goes, wow. And you're going to have some nights like last night where it doesn't come together, and they go, whoa. That's all part of having a young team. Well, it got them last night. They've got Pitt coming up Saturday at the Rock, the Prudential Center. And that will be a 2:30 tip following Notre Dame and Villanova. It's a doubleheader there on Saturday. It's quite a doubleheader, too. My brother is coming along tomorrow to do picks. I've been talking about making up ground. I don't know.
Me neither. I'm trying to.
I can't. I don't know. So we've got a lot of guests coming on today's show.
Yeah, I already gave your brother a heads up to block at least an hour for next Friday since we're going to dive into as many bowl picks as we can a week from Friday.
Yeah, I'm not going to Newark until after the show next week. I'm just going to drive myself up. And then next week, the game's on Sunday, so we're not going to Madison Square Garden until Saturday. So, yeah, we'll block out an hour and do all the bowl games, all 40 of them, 4-0. Now, this may be the way we catch up.
Yes.
This could be it. Now, you know who's the last 2 years who's been dynamic at making picks is the suit. The suit has been great at bowl picks the last 2 years.
Are you insinuating that is that added pressure to me, or we bring a fourth wheel in, or?
Well, no, I was trying to compliment the suit.
That's great.
I mean, I was trying to comment. Now, if he wants to come on board to, join the party for an hour, he's more than welcome to be on the show to do that, to defend his championship. That's fine.
Okay.
But I was just, I was giving credit where credit is due.
Sure. I will run that past him tonight and let you know.
Yeah, he'll be easy to pick out. He's the one on top of the table with the lampshade.
Mm-hmm.
that Rogers just... turning away, saying, we don't know him. That's the kind of guy that when the party's over with, you're glad you put him on digital media. But, he's done really well the last couple of years making picks. I mean, I want to say last year, I want to say it was like 30-10 last year or some number like that.
Ooh.
He was really good. He was like 26-14 the year before. So he's been good.
Well, he didn't have your brother to contend with either. So that could have maybe knocked him back a couple games.
Yeah, that's an intimidating presence. By the way, Sandy Barber on the show tonight with Patrick Chambers. All right. So it's Sandy Barber tonight with Patrick Chambers this evening. There's been a lot of talk today that Lane Kiffin was going to get the Houston job, and it still appears that that's the path they're on, that he's going to get that job. But I guess Houston is trying to build in a large buyout because they are sick and tired of having coaches leave them. Art Briles, Kevin Sumlin, Tom Herman. And they want to put in a large buyout because they want to discourage them. They don't want to be a stepping stone program. How about that? They want somebody to come in there and it feels like they've got their guy for a while. Sumlin left, took them. I mean, Art Briles left, took the Baylor job. Sumlin then left, took the Texas A&M job. Herman left and took the Texas job. All Power 5 jobs, but they all used Houston as a stepping stone to the next job. So they want to put a large buyout in there. Allegedly, Lane Kiffin is still the leading candidate, but it's not official yet. But that's what they're trying to put in. Now, let's give you something else. Matt Rule's buyout at Temple was not very big. They had a couple of clauses in the buyout, and the clauses were met, and that kept the buyout small. And you'd be amazed with a smaller buyout, how that makes you a more attractive candidate in certain circumstances. I
mean, who'd have thought last Friday when we were picking the Temple-Navy game in our pick segment less than a week away, he would have left for Baylor. Had Navy won last week, think he'd still be at Temple?
Well, I know he got interviewed at Oregon, and he was the one that said, no, I don't think so at Oregon. I think his relationship with Mack Rhodes, who had been the Missouri athletic director, who interviewed him last year at Missouri, I think that helped pave the way for this. And also the fact that he had, in relative terms, a relatively small buyout. Doesn't hurt. We will take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Happy holidays from everyone at Penn's Tavern. It's time for gathering friends and family, and Penn's Tavern wants you to make them your setting for your holiday party. Historic Penn's Tavern, recently voted as the Daily Item's 2016 Reader's Choice for Best Tavern, is waiting for you. Penn's Tavern has an ambiance that cannot be duplicated. The Sarah Room is the original structure of the tavern. Built circa 1700s, the Sarah Room has original stone walls and wooden floors for an unmatched old world feel. The Wixted Room, overlooking the Susquehanna River, attaches to a more modern River Room pub. The River Room has 12 local microbreweries on tap. And just in time for the holidays, choose Penn's Tavern gift certificates for the perfect stocking stuffer. Purchase 5 gift certificates in the same amount and receive a gift certificate of the same value at no charge. Call to reserve your date and time for a memorable holiday gathering at 570-286-2007 or go to PennsTavern.com. Wishing you all the best, not only during the holidays, but the whole year through. From everyone at Penn's Tavern.
Great to be with you on this Thursday. Audrey Snyder, DK Sports coming up. Jason Rollison on Hot Stove Baseball. And Craig Meyer, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And more tributes to the great career of Vern Lundquist as well. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, wrote a great piece on him today on CBS Sports Line. And this producer Craig Silver, production meeting on Friday, said, quote, "You are a treasure," in front of the 50 staff. He says, "You got me, you always had me." It's just, like everybody who's ever been around him, I've only been around him a couple times, but he sure is somebody that you enjoy being around. How about that?
Todd Blackledge made that perfectly clear when we had a chance to talk to him on Tuesday. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, great career. You know, I think what he did was I think they made a great move putting him in the SEC, because instead of hometowning it and bringing a southern presence to the ACC, or excuse me, the SEC, they allowed him to go in there and give it a national presence. Instead of regionalizing it, they gave it a big national presence by putting him on it. And, of course, part of that was with Todd Blackledge and then Gary Danielson. I think that made a big difference. The SEC championship game was the second most watched college football game of the year. The most watched college football game of the year was Ohio State, Michigan, which drew 16 million viewers. That is an NFL number. Penn State fans may not want to hear that, but the 16 million for the Ohio State, Michigan game is the largest number of the year. That's an NFL number. Penn State and Wisconsin, by the way, drew over 9 million viewers. Huge number. Huge number. And by nearly a 2-1 margin, crushed the ACC championship game. For Fox, that had to feel really good, because obviously Fox is going to invest a lot of money in the Big Ten. And the payoff was already seeing a Penn State-Wisconsin game draw as well as it did and be the number two show of the night.
And as to no surprise, Fox was already hyping coming 2017, you know, during the Penn State Wisconsin broadcast last week.
Well, they should have, Sean.
Absolutely. I mean, don't blame one bit. Yeah.
I mean, $240 million a year, you better hype it. But now let's go to the other side, the Big Ten. The Big East Basketball Conference ratings dropped dramatically when it went from ESPN to Fox Sports 1. That was a concern because Jim Delaney was constantly looking at the TV ratings and the viewership on Fox Sports 1 before he made this decision to go in this direction. Well, really, now this is after the fact, after they had signed the contract, the baseball playoffs with the Cubs were on FS1, and they drew huge numbers. That had to make them feel good, and to see the Big Ten championship game get over 9 million viewers had to make both Fox and the Big Ten feel great that if it's a good product, people will find it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Jason Rollison next, talking about Hosto baseball. Then the next hour, Audrey Snyder, DK Sports. Final half hour, we'll have Craig Meyer, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. John Glenn, a former Ohio senator and the first American to orbit the Earth, has passed away. Do you know in the Korean War who John Glenn's wingman was in the Korean War?
So this would have been, what, early 50s?
Yep.
Penn State related?
No.
No.
Okay. Ted Williams.
The Splendid Splinter. Splendid Splinter.
Yep. He was a great pilot. And obviously Jen and everybody have more on that. Don't forget the Jennifer Wakeman News Hour starring Jennifer Wakeman and featuring Jennifer Wakeman comes up before Santa tonight. Santa is here tonight from 6 to 7.
Via the Magic Radio.
And for the, how many nights in a row now is this? This is what, the 10th night in a row? During the week, Monday through Friday, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The suit has been on all 10 nights using various names. Let's go to Bobby in Danville. You sound like the suit. No, I am not the suit. Time now for this day in sports history. 1863, Tom King of England defeated American John Heeman and became the first world heavyweight champion. 1987, Ron Hextall, the Flyers, became the first NHL goalie to actually shoot and score a goal. His empty net goal made him only the second goalie to get credit for a goal in the NHL. The other one was Billy Smith. Let's see. 2000, Mario Lemieux announced to the Pittsburgh Penguins they planned to return to the NHL at the age of 35. He'd also be the first modern owner and player in U.S. pro sports. First game back, by the way, he scored. And in 2004, in Michigan, five Indiana Pacers and seven fans were charged with various crimes related to a fight that broke out during the Pacers-Pistons game on November 19th. That involved Ron Artest, now known today as Meta World Peace. We don't want to see headlines in the paper, "World Peace Gets Violent." I'm now to bring in Jason Rollison to talk some hot stove. Jason, the Red Sox have made a move. Yankees have made moves. Cubs have made a move. What are the Pirates doing?
I know it's much ado about nothing is what they've done in these, as the winter meetings wrapped up today. Their biggest need, of course, as everyone can probably tell, is starting pitching. They had hoped to have some of addressed during the winter meetings, and over the past couple of weeks, you've seen some accelerating Andrew McCutchen trade talk, but in they played quite a few games of chicken with the Washington Nationals and did not get a deal done.
So what do you think they want to do with McCutchen? Do you think he is still on the table? His contract is ripe for anyone who's out there right now, so that is not a hindrance.
It's absolutely ripe, but just as you put it, it's got 2 full years of control at very reasonable money, even for his coming off of a down year last year. My sense is, based on some Neil Huntington comments today, as well as the way the market kind of spoke to them over these winter meeting sessions, I do think McCutchen will start 2017 with the Pirates. If we get to the 2017 trade deadline, that could be a different story. But for now, I think he is in tow for spring training and beyond.
The trade that they made of Melanson, and Melanson's now with the San Francisco Giants, so Washington ends up giving up people and ends up getting nothing in return, essentially. What did you think about the parts they acquired in the Washington trade, and do you think that there's some foundation there?
There definitely is. Going back to the Melanson trade, the Pirates were able to get a very good, very controllable, 6 years, in fact, left-handed reliever. Felipe Rivera, who throws hard, has a very good throwing motion, and those don't grow on trees. You also have a pitching prospect, Taylor Hearn, who could, perhaps start, perhaps be another right-handed reliever who throws gas and has a very good pitch mix. And you look at the Nationals specifically and what they're doing, they really did pay quite a price for their haul of Adam Eaton in center field. It's like the Nationals are open for business. I think anyone who wants to come and knock on the door could walk away with something really good under their arms. But it surprises me in baseball anymore with the winter meetings especially. So the Nationals are very generous trade partners. I think we can all agree on that.
Very generous. Because I think the Pirates ended up making what turned out, I think, a very good deal. It's actually going to help the club next year, maybe the year after.
Yes, and you look at what Melanson eventually got with San Francisco, as you mentioned, and there was absolutely no way that they could afford to pay a closer that kind of money, nor should they. So that was a very good job by Neil Huntington and his staff of identifying peak value, especially for closers at the trade deadline and relief arms in general. And like I said, very good job by them identifying peak value and getting a very good return. And I think that's what they tried to do with McCutchen over these winter meeting sessions. They tried to see what the market would be like for McCutchen at his peak value, which is not going to be any better than it is today. So, kudos to them for not making a deal just to make a deal, but it was a very good exercise, I believe, for them to dip an exploratory toe in the market and see what the value is.
You know this farm system very well. Do you have expectations next year as to a couple guys that can step up through that farm system that could possibly give them immediate and significant help?
Well, Eric, in terms of making the jump to the major leagues, yes, there are a couple, and as you can imagine, they are probably relief arms as well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to butcher his name, so I apologize in advance. Devondis Navarauskas is a Lithuanian relief pitcher right-hander who can hit the high 98, 99 miles per hour with his fastball and has really risen pretty steadily through the ranks. There is a first baseman slash outfielder, Jose Azuna, who the Pirates feel pretty highly enough to protect from the Rule 5 draft, which occurred today. He could provide some versatility as a bench option. And then, you know, I'm looking for Austin Meadows to definitely make his debut sometime in 2017. I had hoped for the Pirates' sake that the proposed 26-man addendum to the CBA could have given them some flexibility to bring up someone like Meadows, but we'll have to wait and see for injuries and infectiveness and things of that nature before we can really determine when he'll be up, but he will be up.
Is Meadows making the move, should it happen? Is that the next push on McCutchen if he's not traded now?
I do believe so. Meadows is, you know, nothing is for sure when it comes to prospects in baseball.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah, but he is about as sure of a thing as you can get. He has the look of a major leaguer. He has a very clean swing. What I like about him is he when he's moved up in a level, say from AA to AAA, for example, he struggles initially, but he adjusts very quickly, and that leads me to have a lot of hope for a smooth transition to the major leagues. When Gregory Polanco came up in 2014, he did not have such a transition. He had a pretty good start, then, if you remember, a pretty prolonged slump. And I think Meadows, the way he approaches the game, the way he can make adjustments, kind of is, regression-proof as much as any prospect could be. So I would be very excited to see him come up.
What do you know about Tyler Webb?
Not much yet. I'm learning a little bit, but he was at the AAA level with the Yankees and is a left-handed pitcher. Unless the Pirates trade Antonio Bastardo, another left-hander who reports have surfaced that they are trying to trade him, you know, I don't really see a spot for him in this bullpen, which already has four lefties until Bastardo gets traded. So, you know, could be organizational depth, could be a piece to push around in a trade, but, you know, a left-handed relief arm that's knocking down to the majors is always intriguing.
Well, I mean, 82 strikeouts, 72 innings as a left-hander.
There you go.
Not bad. Not bad at all. And not only that, 6'6", so that release point is how close to home plate? I mean, that's the other part. The Yankees get Chapman, which is no surprise because everybody had talked about, hey, look, he may be traded, you know, but they may reacquire him. The Red Sox get Chris Sale. What were your thoughts on those two big moves? Plus, the Red Sox also picked up Thornburg from Milwaukee in a deal that sent Travis Shaw, which opens the door for Pablo Sandoval to come back.
Yeah, and Pablo Sandoval, if you saw the pictures on Twitter or on social media, he looks to be back in shape, and that's a good thing. As a baseball fan, I like to see guys like Sandoval, you know, succeed, who obviously have a love of the game. For the trades and the signings you're talking about, we'll start with New York. You have to tip your cap to New York right now because they knew that they could trade Chapman, you know, to a contender who really needed him at the trade deadline last year, knowing they had a great chance of acquiring him, and that's exactly what they did. So you really have to just tip your cap and, you know, appreciate that if you're a New York Yankees fan or an observer. As far as Boston acquiring Chris Sale, they paid a hefty price. Yoan Makata was a pretty highly touted prospect that they sent back, and they're actually paying all of his salary for the length of the deal they had signed him to.
Okay.
So that's, you know, you could stop right there and say, you know, the White Sox definitely got the better of that deal.
Mm-hmm.
But don't ever discount Dave Dombrowski over there in Boston. What I like about him as opposed to, say, Neil Huntington, is he has a singular approach. When he locks into somebody that he wants, he will get him. And they have the pieces and the money to pay, so, you know, that's a pretty darn good rotation. And they actually opened the season with Pittsburgh up in Boston, so that should be interesting to watch.
Jason, always a pleasure. Great to talk baseball with a little bit of snow flying around.
Absolutely. Nothing better, right?
That's exactly right. Thanks, Jace. All right. Great to have with us Jason Rollison joining us. Audrey Snyder next half hour. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. John Glenn, by the way, was 95 years old. So, hey, big game tonight. Actually, this is one of the better Thursday night games of the year. Kansas City Chiefs and the Oakland Raiders are tonight.
Chances are, do you think a possible first-round bye could be in a balance in tonight's game?
Could be, because, I mean, the division winner. And Kansas City still has that Christmas night matchup with Denver.
Well, they've quietly racked up a 9-3 record.
I know, and they don't have what you would call a dynamic quarterback, but they do have a guy in Alex Smith that makes very few mistakes. And there's something to be said for that. But that is one of the better Thursday night matchups of the year that's, I think, worthy of watching without question. I mean, I'm looking forward to that game tonight. You know, towards that tonight, I don't have anything going on once I'm done with, you know, obviously we have Santa on tonight. I mean, the network talk show is tonight, but, you know, obviously we have Santa Claus on tonight. The Magic Radio, the 84th year we've had Santa on.
Since 1933, and tonight will be show number 9, so.
Yeah.
Yep-er. Actually, I got the high school state playoffs get rolling tonight. Hershey Park Stadium tonight's the Quad A game. At 7 o'clock, you got a pair of 13-0 teams with Erie Cathedral Prep and Imhotep Charter. So Imhotep Charter right. Looking to go back-to-back state championships. Of course, last year they were AAA.
Cathedral Prep's pretty good. They are really good. All right, that should be quite a game tonight. It's the first one. They play, what, one tonight, 3 tomorrow, and 2 on Saturday. Does that sound right?
Actually, there are 2 tomorrow.
Two tomorrow, three Saturday.
Tomorrow at 1 p.m., you've got the rematch between Clareton and Bishop Guilfoyle, the single-A game. Harrisburg Archbishop Wood, 5A, that is tomorrow night at 7. And then you got the triple header on Saturday. Southern Columbia Steel Valley, that'll be 11 o'clock Saturday morning, the double-A final. Beaver Falls Middletown at 3:30 in triple-A. And then it'll top off with 6A on Saturday night at 8 with St. Joseph's Prep and Pittsburgh Central Catholic. Hearing a lot of things about Pittsburgh Central Catholic, too.
There are a lot of stories and a lot of talent on the field this year. 6 games, there's a lot of talent out there. You will see a lot of coaches hanging around. So, yeah. So, that's what's coming up in high school football. But tonight, I'll tell you, the Chiefs and the Raiders, that's a good game tonight. It's supposed to be really cold in Kansas City, too. You know, I don't know how much that, what that plays into it, but supposedly it's going to be it's going to feel like winter there.
Was fun last Sunday on Red Zone watching glimpses of the Green Bay game and the Bears game with the snow going. Now we're talking.
Oh, yeah. No, this is good. It's the way it should be. Yeah, let's just do just one little quick check of what the weather in Casey Moe is going to be tonight. Let's see. Kansas City. Doesn't matter if it's Kansas City, Kansas, or Kansas City, Missouri, but we'll do whatever. We'll take Moe, Casey Moe. And currently it's 26 degrees. Tonight, 13.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Clear and bitterly cold. Play on. I love it. Let's see. The game kicks at, 8:30 tonight? So it's 7:30 Central Time. So I kick off tonight, 21 degrees, 21, drops down to 20. Let's see, the game will be over at like about 11 o'clock Central Time. Real feel, 14. Perfect. Welcome to December. Welcome to pro football. It should be a great one tonight. So you guys are all done with the party this evening. All right. Watch the game.
Well, I'll be home by halftime for sure.
Now, are you taking people with you tonight, or is it just you, or?
Me, myself, and I, yes.
Okay.
Yep. As soon as we wrap up here, we'll head over.
Yeah.
Yep. Get the podcast loaded on stevejonesshow.com, and then we'll make our way.
Suit usually treats this as a family buffet night.
Only the finest hors d'oeuvres and sweet treats.
Absolutely. All right. So coming up next half hour, it's going to be Audrey Snyder. And we'll talk with her. Final half hour, Craig Meyer, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We'll talk with them. So, yeah, football weather tonight, my man. 18 degrees, 20 degrees at kickoff tonight in Kansas City.
By the way, I mentioned the podcast a second ago. Been getting some great comments on the Todd Blackledge interview from Tuesday. StevejonesShow.com. Go to the podcast page and give it a listen if you didn't get a chance to hear it live.
I have to admit, the Twitter account's paid off more than I ever thought it would.
I will not say I told you so. I won't. I'm not going to go there.
The suit will, because the suit was the one that kept saying, you got to do Twitter. Now, as you know, I don't post anything on Twitter, but it's paid off.
It has. I'll send messages out, then I'll get a reply back. Thank you, Steve.
I mean, we have an interesting list of people on Twitter.